Byron. See how you could pay off your home loan faster at athena.com.au. 1019. This is
the Fox. Now, there's something out there called fan fiction. People may be across it. It's essentially erotic literature that people write, and they get to, as fans of people, I guess in their own fantasy land, create intimate moments between people they'd like to see together. And Fev, we at the Fifi, Fev and Byron team have been alerted to some fan fiction that's been written about you.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, it is...
Give it to me, Fee.
The two personalities involved are Brendan Favola and Harry Styles.
Oh, yeah.
So...
He'd be lucky.
It's really interesting. Look, I can't read much of it for obvious reasons. I can set the tone, though. The setting is at the Brownlow.
Why would Harry be at the Brownlow?
I don't know. He's on the red carpet, fiction. Though.
He's my date.
Harry really, really wants a drink.
Yeah,
it's not like
there's
been anything to do at the Brownlow ceremony if you're not in the chance of winning. Well, there's lots to do, actually. I've been there. You can chat with people.
There's not much to do.
He's been all smiles on the red carpet. And avoiding AFL wags who coo over his accent and fuss with his hair and generally treat him like he's some kind of exotic bird. I mean, it's quite good writing. I'll pay that. Like, whoever, they know how to...
Are the wags only swooning over Harry, not Fev?
Yeah. Oh, Fev hasn't appeared yet. Harry's beer is sweating in his hand, almost completely full as his fingers go white with tension on the neck of the bottle.
When's the erotic bit start?
Well, the problem isn't the cameras. His idiot boyfriend innuendoing at Billy Brownless. But you don't know Billy pop up. They never mentioned Billy in the brief. Fev's hand. Oh, dear.
Careful what you read.
Brendan. You just appeared. Now, this is poorly written, actually, because then it just goes into Brendan Favola's wide palm and long fingers spreading across most of Harry's, and that's where I'll stop.
Please.
And it just Harry's goes nuts, on and on. It goes on for about three, four, 5 pages.
No. Now I know where the Richmond boys are getting that from.
That's unreal.
Read it all.
Oh,
read more.
Fev.
Well, that wasn't erotic, yeah?
God, oh, it gets snarsh.
It's like you've forgotten what we do for a living and where we work.
Oh, I didn't bring it up. I didn't start reading it.
Oh, I'm not having fun on this show anymore. I'm done.
I said not to read it.
You did, exactly.
But I want to hear it.
Well, for obvious reasons, we can't talk any more about it. And you know that. There are kids maybe listening. It was just an interesting setting.
Where was the end game? Did I go home with my wife?
I stopped reading it.
Or did Harry take me back to England?
Well, Thief, I did scroll forward, I'll be honest with you. It was sent as a WhatsApp link from Leon, our producer, which is strange.
What's Leon Googling me in erotic for? That's
Fev, look, we don't have to. It's not smutty to suggest that, yes, Fev and Harry indeed do certainly end up quite close.
We might get married and have 1D kids.
You're listening to highlights of Fifi, Fev and Byron on 101.9 The Fox. To hear the whole show, subscribe to the Daily Catch-Up podcast, exclusive to the Fox app.
Tough times for us, Melbourne, but we're doing well. We are now 4.5 weeks left of this lockdown, but what an incredible city we are proving to be. And what a great time to touch base with our very own Lord Mayor, Sally Capp. Sally, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Fifi, Fev and Byron. Great to be with you.
Sal.
So good to talk to you, Sally. And let's start with yesterday, the doctor who left the Royal Melbourne Hospital, and she did tweet that she got a parking fine. It was issued to a $99 parking fine, and she'd spent she spent 5 weeks at the hospital nonstop. And she did reach out to you, Sally. Now, what is the update on that parking ticket?
Well, when you played that song to start, the best things in life are free, I thought that was a beautiful lead-in to the fact that for that wonderful Dr. Katerina, her fine has been revoked, and we're pleased to do that. We've got a lot of wonderful healthcare workers who, as we know, they're just working so hard. They are right at the front line. They're under a lot of stress, and it's not our intention at all to add to anybody's stress during this time.
Well said, Miss Mayor. But Do you think that parking inspectors are essential at the moment? I know that there's a lot going on. There's a lot of sick people going to hospitals once or twice a week. They're parking. Surely for the next 6 weeks, you just waive parking fees for all Melburnians.
Well, look, there's been a lot of discussion on this, and what we're doing is we're saying to everyone, for our frontline healthcare workers, they've got permits. We've issued 10,000, or about to issue another 5,000, so that they can park in our green zones free of charge for as long as they like. The only thing we're concerned about is particularly the red zones, because I know we're in stage four lockdown, but the city still has to operate. We've still got some great hardworking business owners and workers who are trying to, you know, do takeaway food, fulfil online orders, and they need to know that there's parking available for them, that they can receive deliveries in loading zones. Residents still need to be able to park in their resident zone. So what we're saying to all of those frontline workers, and particularly those that have permits, if you can park anywhere except the red zones because they're needed for loading and for the businesses in the city to keep operating, and apart from that, go for it.
Sally, how is the city going otherwise? Like, what are we? Obviously, we're all in lockdown in our houses and we can't leave our suburbs. Can you give us a snapshot of how tough it is, how quiet it is, how businesses are going?
Well, we know that Melburnians are adhering to the restrictions because we're back to our lowest pedestrian count ever, only about 10% of the normal foot traffic that we would normally experience. And they would all be frontline workers or people, as I said, fulfilling takeaway or online orders. So it's eerily quiet. We were talking about scary movies the other day amongst our team, and sometimes the streets in those scary movies remind us of where we're at, but we have to stay resolved. It's a good sign that people are staying at home and doing the right thing. And if we can keep that going and get the virus under control, then we can open up those doors again, sing hallelujah, and take to the streets.
I was just thinking one thing, guys. Just, you know, this working from home trend is now such a big thing, and a lot of people are saying it's here to stay. I wonder if that is a challenge for the city. Sally, given that when this leaves,
it's a big challenge. Yeah,
you might have empty office. You might have empty office buildings. So, I mean, I know that's a bit of it's not the most positive line of questioning, but that's a bit of a worry for the city, isn't it? Will it ever be that busy again, other than maybe at night for partying?
Oh, I like the sounds of that. That sounds good. Look, we are worried about that, of course. I think they say it takes 12 weeks to create new habits, and we've had weeks and weeks of people working from home now. There are things they love about working from home, one of which is not having to do the commute. And, of course, there's going to be a lot of caution about coming back into the city, getting on public transport. So we're working on lots of initiatives with the state government and major employers at ways in which we can bring people back. And we think ultimately all of the attractions of the city, the great restaurants, the amazing retail, all the incredible events that we have, great cultural institutions, will continue to be attractions for people to come into the city. It might just take a little while to change our habits back again.
Have you guys in your meetings ever thought, I was just thinking then when you're talking about it, to have like something...
Do I need to sit down, Fev?
No. We're just brainstorming, spitballing.
Yeah,
have a big, massive parade or a come out of all the healthcare workers for Victoria that have worked their butts off, and so we can celebrate everyone that's put in the hard work on the front line.
Like a no big ticker take parade. Has mentioned that, and it's one of the best ideas I've heard.
Oh, there we go.
I'm adding that to the list. What a great thing to do is to really have that public celebration.
Because we do that when sports, you know, Olympians come back and they win medals and we have a big ticker tape parade, but do that for the people that really mattered and it's got us through this last sort of couple of months, and just to show our appreciation, I think that'll get people back into Melbourne.
Lovely. I love that idea. Of course, we do love a parade, and we're still working on ways in which we might be able to deliver the parade for the Melbourne Cup, the parade for the AFL Grand Final. Some of those things may have to be delayed, but we could certainly prioritise this one.
Will it be in Melbourne, the Grand Final?
I hope so. What do you think?
I think it's the only year they can leave. I don't think we'll be able to go watch footy, but it depends how good Melburnians are in the next sort of couple of weeks, I suppose. But if we've got to get it down to zero, but I think maybe it might leave our shores, our state. But well, you'd know. You're in the know. Will it?
Oh, dear. I hope it doesn't as well. It would be like to have something that's so iconically Melbourne have to leave the state would just be terrible. We can all adjust, and we will need to continue to put health priorities first, and that's what it's all about. So as long as we stay focused on that, but it would be, I've said to some of my interstate colleagues, it would be like a dagger to the heart, but nonetheless, we have to stay focused on slowing the spread of that virus. It's the anthem for 2020.
We do. And so just what we've got you, we've had a few people call through while we've been talking to you, and I wonder if there is a message we can give them. They are healthcare workers from the Royal Melbourne Hospital, and Sarah was saying, about 50 of the staff have received fines. Is there a process that we can tell them to go through to have those fines looked at if they are staff at the hospital?
Yes. The first thing we would say is please contact the management at the hospital to ask for a parking permit so that this doesn't happen. And as I said, there are another 5,000 coming through the system this week. Other than that, please write to us at the City of Melbourne. And what I'll do is, my email's on the website and you can write directly to me. You can imagine how full my inbox is from yesterday.
Wow.
Please do that. And that's a great way that we can process it.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll put all those details on our Insta story. And how good of you to be so accessible today a few hours after you're absolutely copying it publicly. We do appreciate it. Lord Mayor Sally Capper, always great to have you on our show.
Thanks, Byron. Bye, Fev. Bye, Fev.
Thanks, Sally.
101.9 The Fox.
I tell you what, Fev, through this pandemic lockdown, there's lots of things to be sad, negative about, but you got to look for things to, I guess, keep your morale up and keep yourself engaged. And I think what is interesting is the big trend for loving Brett Sutton and finding him a sex symbol at the moment, because this has really taken off. The Brett Sutton is Hot Facebook fan page now has 9,000 followers.
Wow.
Users are posting daily their appreciation photos of the chief health officer. I mean, you think about first lockdown, I don't think anyone was looking twice at Brett Sutton.
No.
Second lockdown, is it because we're just tired and running?
It's because we're all going crazy.
And every time Dan and Brett get up to do a press conference, maybe people are just going, I've got to find something in this. Look at that stubble. Hello, Brett Sutton's just arrived. It's like suddenly everyone just thought he's hot. And now they're sharing photos of him when he was younger. I've just seen photos of him as a young man.
He was a surfy, wasn't he, with long hair?
He had long brown hair.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to know how Mrs. Sutton's feeling about this.
She'd be chuffed. Mate, if I was him, I'd be going home going, hey, mate, appreciate this. Everyone else does. And you know who I feel sorry for?
Who?
You know who I feel sorry for? Because
Dan?
They're on their TV a fair bit, and that's why we're going, oh, wow. But when Dan Andrews gets on, everyone's like, ooh. Then he gets on. If I was Dan Andrews, I'd be going, what's wrong with me? Like, why haven't I got a fan page saying how hot I am?
Maybe that's why, maybe Dan's using it to his advantage. You know how often the press conferences, Dan starts and he goes on and on. Then he brings in Brett for a little quick bit and then sends Brett off. And then maybe that's the whole capture the audience, get the hot guy in.
Yeah, he's entree, then here's your main. And when Dan comes back on, go, mate, you're not dessert,
we've switched
bro.
Off now.
You're listening to edited highlights of Fifi, Fev and Byron on 101.9 The Fox. To hear the whole show, subscribe to the Daily Catch Up podcast exclusive to the Fox app.
Pretty excited because tonight The Bachelor is back, 7:30 tonight on Channel 10, and we have The Bachelor himself on the line, Lockie Gilbert. Hi, Lockie.
Morning. Hi, how you doing?
Lockie, we're good, and we were just remembering, the last time we spoke to you, you'd just been announced as The Bachelor, and it was before the first lockdown, and it was like, yep, you're about to head off filming, and then bang, everything went pear-shaped in terms of television production. How did that all play out when you were filming and then suddenly social distancing and lockdown occurred?
It sucked. I mean, you're building all these connections with these girls and then you get told to go home. But I was lucky enough to stay in contact with the girls just over text and FaceTime and stuff like that. So it was quite beneficial because I got to talk to them on a normal level.
Yeah. That's actually almost, that's a very unique experience for a bachelor and almost makes it more genuine than maybe previous series because you will have gotten a bit more one-on-one privacy with texting and FaceTime.
You go from having 10 minutes at a cocktail party to having 2 hours sitting back
in
on
a
your
bathtub.
Couch talking.
Well, virtually in a bathtub, Fev. I mean, you know.
Yeah, there's a bit of bathtub dating as well, so.
Hey, mate, I don't know if you've read this article, but I read an article yesterday because we knew we had you on because it premieres tonight that a lot of girls dropped out because they realised it was you. And once I go into the article, but it's because you'd spend most of your time in, well, 6 months of the year in Bali. How did you feel when you read that article, got told that girls were dropping off?
I read that, but it's funny because the girls aren't told anything. Like,
yeah, I thought that. I'm like,
they don't know who they're meeting. I don't even know who they're meeting, and it was never a prerequisite for them to move to Bali. Like, I'm not going to be in Bali for the next couple of years probably, so I don't know where that came from. I'm lucky enough that I can run my business in Bali from anywhere, so yeah, I don't know where that's come from.
And also, when I was looking up some stuff about you yesterday, I went on to like a, I don't want to ruin the show, but I went onto a place where you can look at odds and stuff.
Oh, here we go.
But they don't have any odds. They don't have any odds of people because it hasn't been released yet.
Right.
But what they did have was the winner is very short that comes from Victoria. And of the age group of about 30 to 31 was very short. Now, I know someone in this, in your series, Lockie.
Yeah.
And she is from Melbourne and she does fall in the age group from 30 to 31. She
works That's a very small age group. It's like one year.
Yes, and she works for my wife's company as a model for Runway Room, and her name is Paige. Now, how does Paige, she's a beautiful girl, lovely lady, how does she go?
She's absolutely stunning, but the thing is, with the ages, like, I never asked that, and it was, like, not till halfway through the season I was finding out ages and stuff, so how does she go? All I can tell you is she's absolutely stunning. She's even better looking in real life as well.
Wow.
She's stunning. She's very
And
smart
Lockie,
girl.
You don't have to comment on this, but I will make this comment again, and I often say this. Can the betting companies stay out of reality shows? Because, Lockie, it kills me.
It ruins Survivor for everyone. Yep. Now it's ruining this, like, guys.
Yes.
You shouldn't be able to bet on it. Like, I clearly know the winner, so I could make some cash. I could make a
bet.
Who wins?
Fev.
Fev's team.
I'm going to get so annoyed.
Later we'll talk.
No, actually, Lockie, and this is how I'm saying this with Brendan Favola in the room, and he does like these betting sites. But can we as a show ban talking about them? Because I'm not going to look, and I don't want to. I want to go on the journey with Lockie. I want to do it in real time.
I'll do the same thing. We won't look.
Good.
Yeah, thank you, Viv.
We're not looking.
So, Lockie, would you say, and we've spoken to all the bachelors over the years, and, you know, one, I won't name him, but he had a shocking run, and we knew he'd had a shocking run when we first met him, but was it a great experience for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's something you never really know what you're getting into until you've done it, and it was a crazy experience, one of the hardest things I've ever done, but where I am right now, I could not be happier.
Right oh, to know.
Now,
Lockie, that's good.
Well, who's favourite? No, I'm joking. No, mate, seriously, on a serious question, you mentioned Survivor before and you were brilliant in Survivor and you did have a relationship in Survivor with Brooke. How would you feel if she turned up at the mansion as an intruder?
Yeah, that would be pretty crazy. I mean, yeah, we were with each other on Survivor. Then after Survivor, we never really continued it. So if she rocked up... 7 months later, it'd be pretty crazy.
Do you know what? I don't think that wouldn't happen on Bachelor. It would definitely happen on Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, for sure.
If you go on that, expect to see
I'm
her.
Definitely not going on Bachelor in Paradise.
We'll hold you to that, bro, because you know you don't think you're going to, and then suddenly one day you're on the island, and Osh is wearing some strange matching suit, and you're there.
So, I'm already scarred from Fiji, from Survivor, so I don't know if I'll go back there.
All right, so obviously we're all going to be watching this. What a good sport he's been today. Lockie Gilbert, the Bachelor premieres tonight at 7:30 on 10. Gee, it'd be a tough job having to keep all those cards close to your chest. He's done well.
It'd be a tough job going into a mansion and having 20 beautiful females to pick from. Oh, God.
It's a hard life being lucky, I'll tell you that.
my pick is Paige. So there you go, guys. I'm going to say.
Well, now yeah. I'm going for her too because, I like the look of her too.
Who's your pick, Lockie?
I've made my pick and I'm happy with it.
Fifi, Fev and Byron for breakfast.
Well done, bro.
Thanks, mate.
Well done.
Thanks, guys.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
We all know the challenges now of working from home when you've got meetings and schools even. You know, kids are jumping on Zoom chats and classes and there's always an issue. And I hear it like little Trixie, you know, she's in grade one and they're all little 6 and 7 year olds. But I love hearing it because it's a case of, so-and-so, can you pop your mic on? So-and-so, can you press mute? Like the whole thing is just like little kids because they don't know what to do.
How many times do you hear, you're on mute, miss.
Yeah,
you're on mute.
Yeah, I know.
You're on mute. Oh, God.
Anyway, this doesn't just affect us, guys. This affects people in power. And I'm speaking of our Premier, Daniel Andrews. He yesterday was facing questions from the Parliament's Public Accounts and Estimates Committee. They're scrutinising the Victorian government's pandemic response. Just a side note on this. Is now the time? Like, this guy has got enough on his plate. Are you going to drag him in to a conference call meeting to go over, like, I don't know, an Excel spreadsheet about where money's going right now? Like, when we're through it, let's all debrief. But right now, he's got a lot on. Anyway, This is a great fly on the wall example of what goes on in this is a big think about this. These are big politicians and how their Zoom meeting plays out.
My response to your question shouldn't be read as in any way.
Sorry, Premier, I can't hear. Can we put the volume up?
Well, I'm speaking as loudly as I plan to, Mr. Ridner. Let me, if there's a technical issue, I'm more than happy for us to get someone to have a look at that.
Dear.
Premier. Premier.
Well, perhaps if Mr. Reardon would be greater.
Sorry to interrupt, Premier. Perhaps if you could try moving a little bit closer to the microphone, it might improve the quality of the sound.
Well, as I was saying.
Oh, wouldn't he? Like, you'd honestly forgive Dan Andrews for just sighing and doing it. You know what? If I were Dan Andrews, I would have done what I did in one of our meetings a couple of weeks ago, Fev. Remember when I found the button where I could just disconnect my video and
hey,
I just disappeared?
You told us it was bad Wi-Fi.
See how you could pay off your home loan faster at athena.com.au.